Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast. This is Jamie Russo. I own a coworking space in Palo Alto, California. I am the executive director of the Global Workspace Association and the host of the Everything Coworking Podcast. This episode is brought to you by my program, the Coworking Startup School. I just wrapped up my last live session at the end of September, and I am revamping the program to include even more detail and focus on validating your coworking space right from the beginning and getting your mind wrapped around all of the buckets that it takes to start a coworking space. So if you want more details on that and are looking for expert and peer support to start your coworking space, head over to www.coworkingstartupschool.com to learn more info. So today we're going to talk about the top six things you should focus on immediately after launching your space. I tried to make it five, but when I wrote all my notes, it turned out to be six. Five is so much cleaner, but we're going to take six. So we're going to start with number one. And these come to me partly from working with my flight groups. So once you finish the Coworking Startup School, you move into a flight group. And I have folks that have been in my flight groups for a long time now, over a year. So many folks have launched and are in the launch phase. And so I'm seeing, in addition to my own experience and the folks that I see through my network from Lexi and the GWA, my flight groups, who I spend a lot of time with them every month, and I see what they're thinking about and what they're going through as they launch. So it helps give me some perspective and remind me, because it's been a while since I launched my space, the things that are important to focus on. So I wanted to share those with you today. The first one, give yourself enough energy to be a high performer. So it's easy when you're in that crazy launch phase to let yourself get into the mindset of being a startup entrepreneur, giving everything you have to the business. That's not sustainable, nor is it proven to be the most productive approach to managing your business. There will, of course, be a phase where you feel like the list of urgent to-dos related to your space is insurmountable, that it will last for months. So maybe this is not the time to start training for your first marathon. I get that. But what I'm saying is that it is not an excuse to give up on your health. It is not the time to say, I'm going to eat whatever I can get from delivery, and I'm not going to sleep so that I can get more done, and I'm not going to take care of myself. In fact, this is the time when you need to take the best care of yourself. Research on high performers in business shows that they eat right, they exercise, they get enough sleep, and they take care of their mental health. And there are a couple of books that I just read recently that talk about this concept in depth, and it's data-driven. So it's not, you know, the yoga teacher who suggests you do these things or your personal trainer. It's lots and lots of data from people who are successful in the world, and they don't let these things go. There's a book called, that I've talked about before, called When, The Scientific Secrets of Perfect Timing. Daniel Pink, he talks a lot about how to manage your day and be productive, and that involves taking breaks and taking care of yourself. And then I just finished one called High Performance Habits, How Extraordinary People Become That Way. Years and years of data on people who are at the top of their game and the habits that they have that help them get there, and they take care of themselves. So don't let this be an excuse. You need to bring energy to the table in order to be as productive as you can. I have lots of hats that I wear, and I put my health first pretty much every day. I can't think of the last time I missed a workout. So even if it has to be short, I'll do it. 20 minutes, that's fine. I'm a big worker outer, an hour and a half to get through my warm-up. I need extra warm-up time these days, and weightlifting and cardio stuff, but I will do a 20-minute workout if that's what I have. I meal plan, so on Sundays, I spend the afternoon roasting my veggies, getting my proteins ready, getting all the things all laid out and portioned out so that I don't even have to think about it. I just eat. Now, this means I don't have the most variety of anyone you've ever met in my diet, doesn't matter. I'm in it to make sure I have the right energy to be productive and to be do all the things I need to do and to take care of myself and to take care of my family. So if that means I eat the same thing for breakfast and lunch, that's fine with me. You know, I have my times to have fun. I, of course, love food and wine and all those things, but I save that for special occasions. I get pretty much 8 hours of sleep, and I need it for my workouts, and I need it because my days are pretty intense. I block my calendar. I block out all the meetings and activities that I do for the day. So if you look at my calendar, it's completely blocked in with the things that I need to work on. I never sit down and say, what am I supposed to be doing right now? It's all in my calendar. So I have pretty intense days. So I get mentally tired and need to recover, and I get really physically tired from workouts and walking the dogs and all those things. So I get my 8 hours of sleep. And the thing that I am personally trying to work on is I have a bad habit of sitting down and working for long periods of time. I may get up and eat. I will eat when I'm hungry. I'm a big eater, even though it's healthy. I need to eat. But I will stare at this computer screen for, you know, hours if I'm trying to get through some things. And at the end of the day, I will be exhausted. And the books that I mentioned both talk about how it's much more productive to take frequent breaks. Don't let yourself get distracted. Don't watch TV. Don't do all those things. I don't know who does that. Nobody that I'm talking to probably gets, you know, distracted by Netflix at home during the day or laundry or all those things. Like, but take a break, try to walk outside, walk around the block, talk to somebody on the phone. Don't get into social media. Don't get into all of that stuff, but give yourself a mental break. Do some breathing exercises, a little yoga, whatever it is, for 10 minutes, once an hour. So that's the recommendation, is once an hour, take a break. So I'm working on that because I really feel an energy drain when I stare too long at my screen and just go nonstop through meetings and phone calls and all those things. So that's what I'm personally working on, but I got the other stuff all worked out and it makes me feel good and I can get a lot done from putting those things in place. Okay, so number one was giving yourself enough energy to be a high performer. Number two, the second thing you should focus on after you launch your space, marketing. That's probably not a surprise. So now that you have your personal self in order and you have the energy to focus on the other things, let's look at marketing first. Fill the space as fast as you can, and that will give you the headspace you need to deal with everything else. And if you want to do a second location, your funding source will want to see your fill-up rate. No pressure, but you want to get the first one right, even though you've never done this before. And that's why you look for outside help. Peer support, expert support, wherever you can get it, you want to make sure that you have a marketing and sales plan that will lead to success. So what do you want to focus on here? Focus on your sales funnel. Early episodes, late 70s, early 80s. I did 3 episodes on the sales funnel. Listen to those. Do you have the right product mix? What's moving? What's not? Can you make adjustments? Do you have the right pricing? Do you have the right conversion tools? Are you getting people to your website? Is the design optimized? Do you have phone answering? Do you have live chat? Do you have the right tour flow? Do you have the right person giving tours? Are you doing the right follow-up after the tours? Look at the full flow. Look at every piece of that workflow and analyze it and spend time on it and determine whether it's all optimized and keep working on it and testing. But focus on it. Make sure that you allocate time to it every day. Have a leadership system in place to ensure that you and your team are reviewing your marketing efforts and results at least weekly. So I just said, you probably should be thinking about it every day, but make sure you're looking at those KPIs and those metrics that you're tracking once a week with your team. Do you have a weekly marketing meeting in place? Get one in place if you don't, so that you can work with your marketing person, make sure you have very clear KPIs in place and that the activities that person is working on line up with those. Don't have a marketing person? It's just you? Maybe the case for many of you. How can you create that accountability for yourself? Do you maybe have an advisory board that you can work with or create if you don't have one? Set up a group of trusted people that you want to work with. Even be honest with them and tell them that you're creating an accountability mechanism for yourself and send them reports or do a short call with them every month to review your activities, analyze results that you're getting, and get some inputs on what to tweak. If it is just you, then you probably need some outside perspective and probably some outside support. And I have a marketing interview coming up that I'm super excited to share with you that will help you think about how to get outside support, what that might look like, budgeting, etc. Number 3, document processes. So you've just launched, you're learning all the things, you're setting up all of your systems and processes for the first time. Make sure you document them as you go. It's easy to say, I'll go back and do that later. There's never going to be a good time, and you might as well just do it right from the beginning, because something will always feel more important. But if you document your processes now, this will position you to hire and train a community manager and remove yourself from the front desk if you're playing that role. If you already have a community manager, have him or her help you with this process documentation. That can be a great resume line item for them, a great transferable skill, help them feel like they're contributing to the longevity of the organization. And when they leave, you have their processes all documented. They are likely going to give you 2 weeks notice when they leave, right? So if you are already removed from the daily operations to focus on other areas of your business or an entirely different business, training a new community manager when your current one leaves will be kind of a nightmare. It'll take you away from other priorities. So you want to keep this as efficient as possible by documenting everything in your business. And if you are removed from the daily responsibilities, you may not even know how certain things get done, right? Your team may be using tools that you are not familiar with. So you want to make sure that's transferable. Now, the bigger the team you have, the more people there are to step in and do the training. But you want, if you have processes that you think are right and want to be consistent and you want everyone to be following them, then you don't want to rely on just the mailman process of your team and that team as it turns over, because, you know, a couple years down the road, that mailman process will sort of turn into something that you didn't create in the first place. So if you document all your processes with videos and use Asana to create links to Google Docs, etc., then you can have everything live in a place and have it be what you have prescribed and not just what has sort of evolved over time. Another thing that you want to focus on, roles and responsibilities. Stay close to your team if you have one. Have leadership systems in place to track what's getting done, what's not, and when it's not, why not, and what you need to do to help get it done. Have weekly meetings with key team members or functions. Review the KPIs that you've set. And if you haven't set them yet, that's okay, but this is a good time to do it. Start getting really specific about what you want to track. And I'll put a link to, there's a great KPI document. I've actually updated it since I did the podcast on KPIs, and it's amazing, if I do say so myself. I put a ton of detail into it and I reformatted it, so it's super easy to read. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. And for those of you that have been looking for show notes, I relaunched my website and did a terrible job of getting the show notes moved over in time. So we're in the process of doing that. I have someone helping me do that right now. So that will get better, and new show notes will actually have links in them. So look for the KPI tracker in the show notes. So you want to set these KPIs and get these trackers done and create your dashboards so that you can review these with your team, so that when you're not the one that's so close to the details, you're not the one doing the tours, you're not the one looking at all the leads that come in, you're not the one doing the follow-up emails or interacting day-to-day with members, that you can get some insight on what's getting done and how your team is doing against metrics. Do not, especially at the beginning, but really eternally, do not assume that things are getting done. You have to know that they're getting done. And I have learned this lesson the hard way, believe me, over many different community managers, making assumptions that, oh, this community manager will be just like the last one. And that last person did all the things without me having to, you know, interfere very much. Leadership systems are really important. And those can be as simple as weekly meetings and basic trackers, but just be consistent with those check-ins. If you let those go for too long, then important things can start not getting done in your business. And there's a compound effect to those things, right? So back to number four, focus area number four, roles and responsibilities. So we started out with stay close to your team, have weekly meetings, review your trackers. A couple of other things I had under this bucket. Can your community manager handle everything you've put on their plate? So you're in launch mode. You're starting to get into what might feel like a regular routine. You've been asking, you know, your team to do a ton of work and you're all learning and figuring things out. Well, as things start to settle out a little bit, check in with your team to make sure they're getting things done, like we just talked about, that they, and if not, can they handle it? Like, or have you just given them too much? Because you don't know how much they can handle, right? Everybody's new and everybody's not, nobody has predicted what the day will look like. So now that you're starting to see what a day feels like and what a week feels like and how much can get done and how much time is spent with members. And of course, at the beginning, you'll be solving a lot of problems and, you know, working through technical issues with your new systems and a lot of things that won't repeat. But as things start to shake out, it's good to check in with your team to make sure that they have the right responsibilities, the right number of them, the right level of them, and that all the right people are in the right seats on the bus. Is the marketing role in the right hands? This is another big question under roles and responsibilities. So if that person is you, if you're wearing the marketing hat and the space isn't filling as quickly as you'd hoped, how do you get help? So I mentioned I have a marketing interview coming up and I'm hoping that we'll address that topic in that interview. I write the question, so of course we will. So that's good. I can actually guarantee that. But I want you to be thinking about that after you launch. Is the marketing role in the right hands? If it's you, then do you need to get help? Do you need to help somebody set you up with frameworks or digital marketing plans or things that just are not in your expertise that you need some help with in order to make sure that you fill up in the right period of time? And then the other thing that I want you to think about in terms of roles and responsibilities, is there a glaring gap that you need to address? So now that you've launched and you've really got your mind around all the details that need to get done, is there a role that you haven't filled that you need to fill and that you can fill? So of course you want to run leanly in terms of your executive team until you start to scale, but are there holes like a bookkeeper? Hopefully most of you understand the importance of this role, but do not be running your business on Excel sheets. Once you launch and you start to see these details, what do you need help with? Is it a bookkeeper to make sure that everything's reconciled every month and you have an up-to-date QuickBooks file and you can run reports and make decisions, which we're going to talk about in number 5. Back to that marketing person. Is there a gap in marketing? Do you need some expertise on your team that you don't have? And that doesn't have to be a full-time person. That can be a contractor that can help you with specific things. Do you need a contractor to help with content marketing and social media, for example? So take a look at your roles and responsibilities and determine, do you have a gap that you didn't anticipate that you need to fill with some outside help? Number 5, the 5th thing on the list of what you should focus on after you launch, is know your numbers. Hope is not a strategy. There's a sales book with that title, and I'm sure I read the book at some point, but I just sort of love that mantra about everything in life. You cannot just hope. You need to know. You need to be in the weeds and in the details. So you need to review your P&L at least monthly. And I fall into this habit of like, well, things are going fine. We're paying all the bills. I've got a distribution coming to me every month. Like, kind of getting out of the details sometimes. And yeah, I just had a little lesson on that. I found something that wasn't matching in the accounting and I got to dig in there and figure it all out and make sure my team is running the process the right way and make sure that I'm, you know, have that monthly accountability. So I'm going to give this advice to myself. If you need an accountability partner, find one. Create an advisory board, as I mentioned earlier, and set up a monthly meeting with them to force yourself to review and report on financials. So I have this in place for the GWA. We have a board. We're a board-run organization. So I have a bunch of industry leaders that look at the organization's financial reports once a month. We have a treasurer. I work with the treasurer who audits the financials, and we come up with commentary about what's driving growth. You know, where are we off versus budget? What's our outlook for the rest of the year? What are we predicting for conference attendance? Things like that. So we have to get really into the details every month on the financial reports, and it totally keeps us on our game and keeps us really current. I cannot get lazy on that because I have to show up to a board meeting and run through these financials with other industry leaders. And so that keeps me super committed and accountable. So if you need to create something like this for your co-working business, do that. Maybe it's even your accountant, and maybe you tell your accountant, like, look, I need to pay you for an hour and we need to go through this and you need to force me to look at these force in quotes, but sometimes we need someone to kind of, you know, project manage us into doing the things that we need to do, and ask your accountant to go through the key metrics that you want to look at and the key ratios that you want to look at. So talk about, you know, what numbers are important to your business, and have your accountant kind of pull those out and highlight those and go through them with you once a month. And you can both sort of evaluate, and maybe your accountant gives you some advice on what to focus on, or, you know, what to keep an eye on. So things like operational expenses as a percent of revenue. So some things to look at there would be, you know, as you're growing, like how much are you spending on coffee and paper towels and toilet paper and all those things? Does it make sense? Can you sort of put a dollar amount per member and start to predict, like, what does it cost me per member to run this space every month? And it can help you to have that number, because if something is off there, you'll start to know it pretty quickly. So do you have a community manager that's, you know, retail therapying on your Amazon account or your Instacart account or that kind of thing? So it's probably not, you know, a huge area of focus, but just an example of something I thought of that can be a little bit mysterious as you're starting out. How much does it cost me to run this thing every month? Well, looking at your numbers will really help you to get to know that. Variance to budget. So you can go into QuickBooks at the beginning of every year and create a budget, which is basically your pro forma of what you expect for the year. And then as you start to enter those actuals, what's different? What's higher than you thought it would be, lower than you thought it would be? That can help you really think about what needs to change, what you need to adjust. You know, will you get to break even faster or more slowly than you had predicted? What does that mean for you and your business and your family? And, you know, are there, what do you need to solve there? Another thing I'd be looking at right after you launch is revenue by product as a percentage of total revenue, so that you know what membership types are driving revenue. So have your accountant break out your revenue by product mix. So like office income, co-working income, dedicated desk income, meeting room revenue, virtual mail revenue, so that you can see that detail. And if it's not in QuickBooks, have it somewhere, but I think I like to have it in QuickBooks. You know, it's good to have it just in one place, and your accountant just has to do that in QuickBooks. It shouldn't be a huge request. But as you are launching and learning about your marketplace and what is selling, this will be really important data so that you can make adjustments if you need to or can, or you can start thinking about what you would change for the second location if you're thinking about expanding. And then another metric, cost of acquisition. Try to figure out how to calculate that so that you can adjust your marketing spend and approach. So how much does it cost you to get someone in the door? And probably that's before conversion, but using your marketing spend, what does it cost you to get someone in the door? And therefore, how much can that number be? And how long do they stay, so that you know how much you can spend on marketing and still have an ROI? So if your membership is 500, just a rough example, you're selling someone a membership that's $500 a month. They stay for 10 months. So that's $5,000. And it costs you $1,000 to get them in the door, Google AdWords, whatever. You're still making $4,000 on them. Of course, we would like our marketing cost to be zero and have that margin be 100%, but that's not going to happen. So we'll try to optimize that marketing spend to get that number down, but at least know what it is so that you can improve it over time, but know that there's a return on your marketing spend. A quick story on that related to the numbers. I was in a group coaching call recently, and there was a woman on the phone who runs a gym, which I often think of as being in the, you know, not exactly our model, but kind of, it's a place with members. And she's been open for almost a year, and she never looks at her financials. She admitted that she does not review her P&L, that she knows that there is enough to pay in the bank account to pay all the bills every month, but she hasn't paid herself in a whole year. And she doesn't know if she can or what it would take to do that. She doesn't have any metrics. She's just running the thing with like a blindfold on. So she's seeking help for this and trying to fix that. But I'm guessing that there may be people listening who are in that boat, and you want to know your numbers. It matters to your business. And the only way to improve your business is to know the numbers and know how to make them better. Number six, the sixth item on the list of what to focus on when you first launched, get to know your community and shape its culture. So in the Coworking Startup School, we talk about creating your avatar and validating it. But all of that happens with people who have not yet committed money to join your space. So now you have actual members, and you can get to work on getting to know them and shaping your community. So now you can know things like, what do your actual members do for work? What do they need from you or your space? Technical support, moral support, a productive place to work, social interaction, accountability? What do they respond to in terms of member events? It's time to experiment, learn, and tweak. Do they like potlucks? Do they like happy hours? Snack breaks? Speakers? Show and tell? Offsite social events? You may not know until they show up and you start testing these things. So be in experimentation mode, but focus on getting to know them and figuring these things out. Don't wait months and months because you're nervous. I totally get that. You feel this pressure to create community, and so you get sort of frozen because you want to get it right and you're afraid to try things. That has for sure happened to me. And so you just have to say, look, we're going to do this, we're going to learn, and we're going to get better at this over time. So get input from your community. They are more than happy to tell you what they like. Send them a survey. Just ask them. Or try things. My favorite story around potlucks, which you've probably heard before on this podcast, we actually tried a snack break recently that went really well. We've been spending a ton of money on lunches for our members. So I said, why don't we see if a snack break would work just as well? But I hit the pumpkin aisle at Trader Joe's and bought lots of snacky stuff, some mostly healthy stuff, apples and other pumpkin-y flavored things, and we put them out for at like 3:30 on a Thursday, and everybody came, but it was great. So everybody that was there came. Sometimes I think when we do lunches, people will show up that day just because we are doing free lunch. I'm not sure that happened with our Taste of Fall event, but it was still a great turnout, and it was efficient for everybody involved and not super expensive. Potlucks. So at the snack break, one of our new members, a female, I might add, said, hey, why don't we try a potluck? And so Diana and I just laughed, and I said, well, we tried that a long time ago and no one brought anything and it was a disaster. So potlucks may or may not work for you. You could ask your members, put up a sign up sheet, see if people actually sign up to bring things. I think we did not have accountability over our contribution list when we did ours. And so there was definitely some risk there and it was a fail. How do they like to communicate? Back to figuring them out. Is it email? Is it Slack? Do you have to put up lots of signs in the space to get them to pay attention to something? Do they prefer social media messages? Get to know them. You'll have to figure it out. There won't be just one answer for every space. And are they responding to the cultural norms that you're trying to set? So are you trying to help them understand that they can't leave dishes in the sink? How do they understand this? Do you need signs? Do you need to stand there? Do you need an orientation? Do you need other members to tell them how it works? Are you trying to get them to make their own coffee? What are the signals that how this gets done? Do they have a first day buddy that shows them how to make coffee? I've heard a lot of spaces that do this. There's somebody who sort of trains all the new people on how to make coffee, and you just make it super clear that all the members make the coffee. Or you make the coffee, but figure out what you're trying to set and be really consistent with that. Are you trying to set a norm that people should not eat at their desks? Wouldn't that be amazing? It's not healthy, it's germy, and if you have carpet like we do, then it makes the carpet dirty. Diana, my manager, recently asked me if we could set that rule, and I said, probably not. Probably that would not go over well, but I wish we could. So I have two words of advice for you here. Carpet tiles. We have carpet, which is great for sound, acoustics in our open space. In Chicago, I had a beautiful polished concrete floor, and it was noisy. And we have carpet, and so it's nice and quiet, but we get spills all the time. I cannot tell you what our carpet cleaning bills look like. So carpet tiles is my advice. Okay, so those are the six things. Let me review. The six things you should focus on immediately post-launch. Give yourself enough energy to be a high performer. Sleep, eat, work out, take care of yourself. Focus on marketing, because if you're filling up your space, then you're going to have a lot more money and headspace to focus on all the other things. Document all of your processes. Pay attention to roles and responsibilities. Stay close to your team. Check in to see if you have the right people in the right spots, if there's a gap, if your community manager can handle everything that you've put on their plate, and if you need to make adjustments. Know your numbers. Get into the habit of doing this immediately. Review your P&L at least monthly and find an accountability partner for this, or you won't do it. Get to know your community and shape its culture is the last one. Okay, that's it for now. I have several very exciting interviews that I am doing later this week that I will be making live over the next few weeks, and I'm very excited about upcoming content. So that is all for now, but we will talk soon.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.